Hey guys! Welcome to Faith on Fleek.
It's Cadence Melville.
And Cooper McFessel.
And we're your hosts. And today we have a special guest.
Yes, we're so excited. My husband, Jared, is going to be here today.
Hello, everybody.
We're so excited about this.
Yeah, and today our topic is godly relationships and dating. So basically, we're going to ask Cooper and Jared about their marriage and just about things that they went through and how God is the center of their relationship. So first, I want to introduce Jared. Jared is the youth pastor at our church.
Yes.
And do you want to say anything, Jared, like about yourself?
No, I don't know.
Well, so Jared's 23. I'm 20.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about on the podcast before how like we're youth pastors here. So we've talked about him a few times on the podcast. So
yeah,
anything that we've talked about before, this is him. So yeah.
So I guess we can start. Okay. So how long have you guys been married for?
It'll be 2 years in May.
Yeah. So exactly a year and a half. A couple days ago, actually. Yep. We got married in May of 2023. We got engaged December of 2022. So we were engaged for about 6 months. We started dating in February of 2022. So we dated for like 10 months.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Well, hey.
Yeah.
Okay. So, first of all, let's just get into your guys' marriage. So, how did you guys like come together? How did you guys meet?
Just kind of like our story.
Yeah.
So we met at Pastor's Kid Retreat with the Arkansas Assemblies of God at where we went to call the ministry at the campground. And we were playing games and like she got introduced to our group because I knew all the people I was hanging out with and no one knew her really.
And so
we were all kind of the older kids and she came and started playing
We were playing spoons.
Spoons. And I was trying to get them to cheat in the game, like to help me win. And it was her and her sister, Chaney, and they would not cheat to help me win.
He was trying to get us like pass cards to him under the table, which he was just kind of like joking around. But we met there and
go ahead. She became friends with Mitchell, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the worship leader. And
I led worship at my dad's church. And so like we kind of like, you know, connected over that. And then like he started asking me to come like do worship stuff at their church. So I would kind of come around like occasionally and just like do different things with them.
At that time we were having youth on Sunday nights. And so she became like the youth worship leader here at the
church. Yeah, because I didn't have service at my dad's church on Sunday nights. So I would come every week and lead worship. And so then I just got really close, like with their whole family and all their friends and stuff. And
with it being during COVID, I mean, we were all sitting around at home all day with nothing to do. And so a bunch of our friends would come up to the church every night and we would just like mess around and play. We'd really play Among Us.
Yeah,
like the original map. We would play every day for like
months.
For months.
Summer, really.
Like for hours a night.
Yeah. So I got really close with them, but I was still mostly friends with Mitchell for a long time. I didn't really talk to Jared very much. And then when we started hanging out more, like during that time, me and Jared kind of became friends. And we were friends for a long time. Like we met in 2019 and then didn't start dating until 2022. So like we had a long time of really like getting to know each other very well before we actually like got into a relationship, which is something that I always prayed for. And like, I always thought, you know, like, Lord, whoever you have for me to be with, like, I'm happy with that. If that's like, I meet someone I've never met before and then like we get together or like, you know, cause sometimes it's like, it's not like you're always friends with whoever you end up with first, but I was like, it would be my preference. Like if I could be friends with someone first, because I feel like it's a good way to get to know them for who they really are.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wasn't trying to like put on a show for me or like make me think anything about him because it wasn't like that at first.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, I got to see like
who he actually was. And I got to meet all his family and all his friends and like see how he interacted with them and like what, how they felt about him and all that, which is, I feel like tells a lot about somebody, yeah. like how their family interacts with them and how their friends talk about them and like who they, how they have a reputation of him. And so like, I got to know all of that before we actually started dating, which was cool.
Yeah,
that's good.
Cause we never really, so I'll finish the story. We never really, I guess we have like something that we would say like would kind of be our first date, but like there's nothing that was really like, hey, like,
yeah, like I never,
do you
want to
go out? Like it was just never really like that, because it kind of just like at one point slowly just kind of like fell into place, like and it was like, I don't know, like we just started hanging out like as friends a lot, and then it was just like,
yeah, like it went from like we would all hang out as a group, and then it was just kind of like, well, we're gonna hang out after everyone leaves.
Yeah, and then it was just like, here we are, like,
and we started watching a TV show together, and that's really,
yeah. So like, I would go like hang out like, well, after we'd all hang out.
Yeah, after like the group would leave, we'd be like, let's watch our show. Yeah, like, we'd sit in my truck and just watch a TV show. Yeah, it was kind of.
But so then like eventually we were obviously like, okay, like we have feelings for each other, you know? So then we like, you know, after we had kind of like hung out for a little bit, then we were like officially, you know, started dating. So yeah. And then we dated for 10 months and then got engaged in December. He took me to New York to get engaged. It was so crazy. He flew me.
Well, so I told her on like Wednesday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was like, we're going to get engaged on Friday.
Yeah. So he told me when it was going to happen, but I didn't know how it was going
to
happen.
And
yeah.
And so I was trying to make her think like we were going to drive somewhere, like to Dallas or somewhere close. Cause I gave her like this letter and I was like, not really letter, like a note. I was like, you have to wake up at what time did I say? Like we're
3:30.
Leaving.
We're leaving at 4:45.
We're leaving. So she stayed at my parents' house. I was like, we're leaving my parents' house at 4:45 to go and we're going to get engaged. Cause I wanted her to know like, get my nails done, like make sure my hair is all right, like whatever she wants to do.
Which I don't even think you said like we're getting engaged. It's just like we're leaving. And I knew it was about to happen because we had kind of planned out like, it was my first year of college. And so we had kind of planned like this is going to be the best time for us to get married. So like we're going to get engaged about 6 months before that. So like I knew a time frame that it was going to happen and I had picked out the ring and everything. So like I knew.
And you knew I'd talked to your dad already.
Yeah.
That was a whole.
Yeah.
Experience, but
we got up.
So I told her, I was like, we're gonna go. So we got up and we left. And so I had a plan with my mom and brother, and because I didn't want to tell her we're going to the airport, because that like lessens the places we could be going. So we're passing like the road, we're about to be where you'd pull off at the airport, and they were watching me on Live 360, my mom, and she called me and she's like, hey, can you take me off speaker? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, you forgot something. You forgot your tickets. And so she was lying. She was just, because I didn't want to have to go park and stuff. So they were going to come get my car at the airport. And so I tried my best to put on like an acting performance. And I was like, oh no. Like, she's like, well, where are you? I was like, well, I'm just going to pull off at this next exit. And she's like, well, what exit is? I was like, we're passing the airport. And it was pretty believable. And so
he's like, I'm just going to pull off and like, stop at the airport so you can meet me and bring it to me.
Yeah. And I'm like, I get off the phone and I'm like, oh, I'm so stupid. Like, how could I have forgotten this? And I pull up like to the front gate of the airport.
And then they pull in right behind us. Yeah. Like and they so followed like, right behind them.
I'm
like,
so we're flying somewhere. But so the gate people who run the flights, we went to check into our flight the day before with my parents. I did. And they told us this flight from Little Rock to New York City gets canceled almost every day. Like it gets delayed or canceled. And so that's one of the reasons I didn't tell her, because if the flight got canceled, I was just going to do it another day.
Yeah.
And so we went in and I didn't let her see where we were going. So we went and sat at Chick-fil-A until I like was looking at the app until they were like, okay, your flight is boarding. And I was like, okay, it's actually going. So then we walked down because she knew we were flying somewhere. And then we walked down and it was like New York City. And she's like,
oh, are you serious?
Because they had just opened the direct flight from Little Rock to New York.
Yeah, that used to not be able to just fly straight to New York. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so long story short, he proposed to me at the top of the Empire State Building. Ooh. And it was so much fun. It was so cool. Like, it was a dream. But we flew home that day. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't stay there. And so we weren't going to stay there by ourselves. So we flew back that night. And we got home at like 11 p.m.
And all our family was
at the airport. And it was really fun. Yeah.
Someone said to me the other day, they were like, that was like a bold move having all your families there. Because you come home and she said no. And it's just like.
If I had said no, that would have been really like cruddy of me. Because you already bought my ring and I knew it.
Yeah. And an awkward flight home. I would have been like, you head on home. I'm going to catch a later flight.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, you stay here. I'm going home. Leave you in New York City.
Yeah.
Oh, no. My goodness.
But it was really cool.
You can go stay
really
with sweet. The pigeon lady.
Like, Home Alone. Just watch that movie. But I like that story.
Yeah.
It's cool. I have some things I want to say from the Bible. So this is like four rules for relationships from the Bible. So it says Ephesians 4 verses 2 through 3. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. It says 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And Romans 13:8 says, owe no one anything except love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So I feel like those kind of tie in to this topic. Mm-hmm. And other things the Bible says about love. Also, it says Matthew 5:8, have eyes for only each other. James 2 verses 13 through 18, forgive even when it's hard. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never fails. If it fails, it was never love. So I like those verses.
Yeah, those are good.
Mm-hmm. They give you a lot of information. Mm-hmm. And so I have another question for you guys.
Okay.
So how would you say God is the center of your relationship?
So I would say that was something that we had to like decide even like before we started dating, like even when we were first together. Mm-hmm. That's a choice that I think that you make then. And, you know, a lot of people, it's like if they don't choose that, then you know, later God redeems you and changes you and that becomes true for you. But in the most ideal sense, it would be that when you start dating, you decide that, because that makes it easier, you know, as your relationship develops and you go through things in life or you face temptations or things like that, that you've already made that choice that God's always going to be the center of your relationship. And I would say, if I didn't know that that was going to be a priority for him and for us, I wouldn't have married
right.
him.
Right. Yeah. And so I think for us, it started before we ever were in a relationship. Like, mm-hmm. we kind of both knew, even if we wouldn't have got with each other, whoever we're with, God's the center of our life.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we're going to find someone else who has God at the center of their life.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. true.
And when God is at the center of your life, he'll be at the center of everything you do.
Right. It's kind of a personal choice that you make.
Yeah.
And if you make that choice personally, it's just going to naturally happen for the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. You kind of have to make that choice for yourself and decide that he's going to be the center of your life. Because
there were things that she pushed me in and I pushed her in.
Mm-hmm.
And
we made like obviously choices with like purity. You know, we made the choice like, I decided long before I ever met Jared and even while I was with him, like I'm saving myself for marriage. Mm-hmm. He made that choice as well. And that's probably the hardest way for people to resist temptation. I feel a lot of people struggle with that. And that is one of the, I think that's one of the most dangerous ways that God cannot become the center of your relationship is if you don't take that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you choose to make choices that are outside of God's will with your body, it can just put a very big distance between you and the Lord and your ability to like connect with him and see clearly. Yeah. And like, and then make other choices that glorify him if that is not in check. So that was like one main thing. And now, I mean, obviously with God at the center of our marriage, it's like, we're not going to, I mean, it's a given, but it's like, we are only for each other, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, we don't look at other people that way or think of, you know, things in that way with other people. And that's a thing that God designed for marriage, you know, anything physical, intimacy, is for marriage and it's right. good in marriage. So you save it for marriage and then you keep it in your marriage.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's definitely a way. But also we made it a priority to always like make every decision that we make based on the word of God and talk to each other first. Like if we're making a big decision about life or about our ministry or the church, it's like, I'm not just going to do it based on what I feel or mm-hmm. what I want. It's going to be based on what I feel the Spirit leading me to do and what the word of God says. And I'm yeah. always going, like, we try to keep each other involved in that because then all of our decisions personally and our decisions together are focused on God and unify us in that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. We obviously, like, we pray and read our Bible every morning. We pray together. Like,
well, so we like do our own and yeah. then we end together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like I'll get up and go in the living room and read my Bible and pray and have my own personal time with the Lord. And then we, I'll like go back in the room with him and we'll pray together. But like I saw a statistic one time and I can't remember what it was. It was something along the lines of like, I mean, it was a crazy number, like 90% of couples who actually spend time praying together, stay together.
Have you not heard the cliche?
No, not, I mean,
a family
I mean,
that prays together stays
yes,
together.
Yes, I've heard the cliche, but like the literal statistics prove that that is true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think the way that you said it, Jared, is like the best way you could possibly put it is like you make that choice personally.
Yeah.
I have to choose to still be a Christian and to put God at the center of my life or else I can't put it at the center of right. our marriage. Mm-hmm. And if he is the center of my life, he will be the center of my marriage.
Yeah. yeah.
And everything you do.
And everything I do. So that's prioritizing him and what he calls me to do over anything that I want, choosing to keep my heart and my mind pure, not filling my mind. And I'll say this, not filling my mind with things that could... I don't know a better word, poison the feelings I have towards Jared. Like, there's a lot of people who will, like, I don't know, just kind of fill their minds with, like, negative things. I see so much negative things online about marriage and, like, people yeah. complaining about their husbands and people talking about, like, he never does this or he makes me mad like this, or people get together and gossip about their husbands and talk like about all the things that bothers them. And it's like a lot of negativity that can then start to like get in your mind mm-hmm. and like affect the way that you feel. Like even if Jared doesn't do these things that I see people on TikTok talking about, it's like, if I'm sitting there looking through stuff like that all the time, I might start to have like, oh, does Jared like
right.
do that?
Yeah.
Does he get on my nerves like that? You know, or like people watch movies that have like, very intimate things in them or scenes that are very inappropriate. And I just think it's like, I don't want to do anything to put anything inside of the spiritual or physical or anything like intimacy that we're supposed to only have with each other. So mm-hmm. like what I put in my mind, in my heart has to stay pure
right.
for myself and for us,
right.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Good job, guys. You guys are doing good.
Thank you.
Okay, so I have some key points, and I was going to let one of you guys read it. So I have, like, so we're going to talk about, like, ways you can grow with mm-hmm. God together, and then, like, dating to marry, and, like, avoiding sexual immorality, and, like, why you should build on biblical principles, and just, like, a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was going to let one of you guys to read
Do you want to switch off?
Ways to mm-hmm. grow with God together.
Okay, so number one was understanding that God is the center of all relationships and that his love is ultimate. God should always come first, then your partner. The closer you get to God, the closer and stronger your relationship with your partner will be. Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah, it is.
Was that all of it?
No.
Did I skip something?
No, you didn't. Never mind.
That's why I said. But.
Okay, so I'll finish it.
Mine's different. Mine has his, like 2 and 3 and 4.
It says, live out of your love for God. Never be ashamed of your faith. You can express that love openly with the world, with each other. Have Bible study together. This allows both of you to connect deeper with God and share each other's experiences with one another. Pray for your relationship with that person and for that person separately. Doing this allows God to open new doors for your relationship and also for your partner. This is a great way to build with God in the center. Pursue God together since he is the most important.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say what it says about praying for your partner separately from them is very important. There are like things that I think you should pray together, but I also think it's important that you spend time alone with God praying over your partner and things that like you want to see develop in their life. Or even like, you know, there's been times when I'm like, Lord, like, I'm really dealing with this right now. Like, I don't really want to talk about it, but like, will you help Jared to like just be understanding of me in this mm-hmm. season? You know, things like that. That's like in my own personal time with the Lord, I talk to him about like our relationship.
Right.
And that's healthy for me to do because I'm not always like, I don't know. I don't always want to like, we want to communicate with each other and I'll be like, you know, this is what I need from you right now. But also there's times when it's like, if something is not like easy for him to understand, then, you know, like there's times when I'll be like, Lord, please like help Jared open his eyes to like understand this more or to, you know, things like that, that like I think can be really helpful. And I've seen many times where the Lord has done that, where it's like, I've prayed, you know, this week I'm really struggling. Like, will you just like help him to like notice? Not that he wouldn't, but you know, right. It's like, and then it's like, he does. Like I prayed that the other day and it was like, I just pray that you'll help Jared to like, to notice and, you know, do something nice for me.
Yeah.
It was like, not that he wouldn't on his own, but then it was like, I can't remember what it was, but then he like did something really sweet for me that day. I was like, you know, Lord, like you hear my prayers and like, you know, he can speak. If you talk to the Lord about what you need, he can speak to them in a way that maybe you can't.
Yeah.
And on that same praying, like in your own personal time, even before you're married, like when that saying, something that my parents are always big on and we've talked about and her family was, and at our wedding, her grandpa talked about it, like, or it was at our rehearsal dinner. He kind of got up and talked, but it's like before we ever got together, so much of my family and my parents and me, we'd been praying for like the person I would marry. And it's like, before I ever even knew her, like all my family was already praying for her. And that's how her family was for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, there's already such a good foundation of prayers that have been prayed. That's what Glenn was kind of saying. Yeah. Like of, he's like, I've spent your entire life praying for the person you were going to marry. And her parents are like, we've done the same thing. And it's like just the amount of prayers that have brought you two to this point together. And it's like, even before you're married, if you're praying for the person you're going to be with, it'll be a lot easier after you're married to keep praying for them. Because if when you get married, you decide, all right, every morning when I wake up, I'm going to spend this amount of time, you're probably not going to.
You got to start the habits before. Yeah. And I'll add to that, like anything that we're talking about now, like that we do in our marriage, really most of it is applicable even before you're married, like what you're saying, like praying for each other, like that should not be something that you start doing once you get married.
Right.
Yeah.
Talking about like spiritual things should not start once you get married. If you think that like, oh, when we get married, like then we'll start like unifying ourselves spiritually. Right. It's probably not going to happen. Like that was something that we did once we got married. Nothing really changed very much. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like as far in that spiritual aspect of like praying for each other, except we prayed together in the mornings, you know, when we didn't live together, we weren't like in the same house, you know? So like that was different, but the overall spiritual, like I'm investing spiritually in our relationship and in my own time praying for Jared. Like that was all happening even before we got married. Cause it's, you always think that you'll start later, but it's hard to start later. It's better to start now.
Especially with, and with a lot of people who weren't saved when they got married or I've met Jesus since they've been married. It's like they're having to start that process after 10 years of being married to each other. And I know that would be hard.
Yeah. It's hard once you get used to doing things a certain way to start and try to change it. But I also like what it said about the closer you get to God, the closer and stronger your relationship with your partner will be. Like I've heard it explained so many times, it's like a triangle where you two are at the bottom and God's at the top. And it's like the closer you get to God.
I've heard that.
The closer you get to God, the closer you literally get to each other. And I think that's so accurate because it's like kind of what I was saying a minute ago is like, you know, there's times when I feel like the Lord like speaks to Jared or just by the spirit, maybe not even like you directly like hear, oh, Cooper needs this today. But it's like in your spirit, you can like, he leads you in ways to be what I need or leads me in ways to be what Jared needs. And it can only be that way if we're close to him. And so it's like, if I'm not close to God, then I'm not hearing from the Lord how to be the wife that Jared needs. And then that puts distance between us because then we're not like connecting or giving to each other in the way that we should. And the spirit allows you to be able to do that. Like there's many times where I may want to respond to him in a way that's like, he says something and I want to respond out of my own like feelings or my own emotions, or maybe like there's something he's talking about wanting to do. And it's like, oh, I don't really want to do that. You know, but there's times when it's like the Lord speaks to me. He's like, you know, in this moment, choose him over yourself. Or in this moment, talk to him this way instead of like what you think. And I feel like he does the same for him. So it's like, you can only, and that's what brings us closer together, I feel like, is when we're able to be what each other needs. And so I feel like you can only be that when you're able to be led by the Spirit, or else you're always going to just act out of your own emotions and your own thoughts and your own feelings. And your own emotions are always going to be biased towards yourself.
And then when she acts out of her own emotions, it causes, it leads to acting out of my own emotions. And then we're both acting out of our own emotions.
And you know how that goes. So it's like, so it's, it definitely is always better when you're closer to God. And even again, even when you're dating. And I think that the thing is, if you try to put all these things into place when you're dating, you're going to realize, is this person going there with me or not? Like if you start doing all these things and you're like all in and they're not, that should show you, okay, well, when we get married, they're not just going to flip a switch. So maybe we shouldn't get married, you know? So that is, I think, always try to start operating in that way before so that you can know if they're even the kind of person that you should marry.
That's
really not to say that people don't mature and grow. We both have since we've been married. But I'll say it like this. I've always said, if you should know if you should marry someone, if you'd be okay if they never changed a thing. So it's like, I'm so thankful that Jared has grown in many ways and, you know, become a better husband every day, and that I have become a better wife just from the experience. But I married someone that I would be content with if he never changed anything. And
like, that's the purpose of dating. Like in that time of us dating, it's really just like, I don't want to say testing, but it's like, I'm with you. Do I want to be with you for the rest of my life? And it's like in dating, if you're having to like wake up every day and be like, no, I'm going to choose to be with them today. Like, no, that's what dating is for. Like in marriage, once you're together, it's like Cooper wakes up and says, Jared made me mad yesterday, but I'm going to choose to be with him because I made this commitment. But in dating, if there's constant conflict, that's a sign to say like, hey, this shouldn't keep going. Yeah. Like we should go our separate ways. Yeah. But once you're in that marriage, it's like, whatever happens, we're going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But a lot of times, especially in our lives, we're youth pastors. And so we deal with teenagers a lot. And so the emotional, I don't know how the emotional state, and they're all listening to this. So hello, but a lot of times, and we got started dating when we were teenagers. And so like our emotional state as when you're younger is not always the best. And
it's like a lot of times they think,
I love you so I've got to put up with anything. Yeah, with anything.
And that's not how it is until you're actually married. Now, right. That's not to say we had conflict when we were dating, just like we do when we're married, that we worked through. But here's what it is. There can be conflict in things that are not priorities. But if you're dating someone and you find conflict in priorities, then that's the sign to you, I don't have to deal with this.
Right.
Like, I don't have to choose them anyway.
Right.
I'm going to go find someone that my priorities align with.
And
here's the things that you can't disagree on. You can't disagree on like core biblical principles. You can't disagree on if you're going to tithe or not. You can't disagree on
how you're going to raise your kids.
Yeah. How you're going to raise your kids. You can't disagree on like what kind of church you want to be in. Like it, things like that. You have to be, there can be no conflict between that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a rabbit trail.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where you were wanting to go with that, but that's
really helpful. So like whenever you, Jared, were talking about like dating and like how the teenagers date and stuff, that kind of like, so now we're on the next point, like dating to marry. Mm-hmm. So like, I want to talk about that.
Okay.
So like the main goal of dating is to find a forever partner, like just like they were saying. And this means like finding someone who you could picture spending the rest of your life with. For example, Cooper and Jared. And then I'm like, separate from the world's view and seek God's. The Bible says that Christians should not follow the world's view on dating, which may be to date around as much as possible.
Yeah, I think that everything about being a Christian is the opposite of what the world wants it to be. Mm-hmm. And the world thinks, don't get married till you're ready to settle down and give up your life. Like date as many people as you can. I mean, just being real, I've heard people I went to high school with comparing, well, how many people have you slept with? Ooh, not very many. You're not cool. You know, it's like, how many girls have you like gotten with, you know, mm-hmm. and things like that. And the world thinks of it as like, you just try to like live. I'm putting quotation marks. You just try to live your life as much as you can before you have to be tied down to being married. And that's not the way that it is. That's not how the Lord wants us to look at it. And I really do believe that the purpose of dating people is to eventually find the person that you're going to marry. I don't think that means that you like
can only date one person for your whole life.
Right. Yeah. I don't think it's like the first person that you date, it's like, okay, you have to marry them.
Right.
But I always put it like this when I'm talking to the youth kids. I always say, what I mean you date to marry is you do not date someone that you don't think you could marry.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that you have to marry any person that you date, right?
Right.
But it's like you should not date someone unless you could marry them. If you find out you don't want to, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Try someone else. But it's like, you have to know this person has the qualities that at this point in knowing them, I believe I could marry this person.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, it's absolutely meaningless. And yeah. I just don't, and this is like very strongly just in my personality, but also in what I believe, I have no use for like wasting my time.
Yeah.
And I think that spiritually, I don't want to waste any of my energy. This may sound bad, like all this time, like investing in my relationship with somebody when I just know it's not going to go
right.
anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that you need to look at it as I need to find someone who I think I could marry, and then find out if you're actually compatible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have anything to add to that?
This is something that we've talked about a lot because we didn't, I don't want to say we didn't agree on it when we got married, but just as we've talked about it more, we had debates about it. And right, would you agree with that? Like,
and not like hardcore debates, right. conversations about it.
I would say I saw things differently than I believed things differently than I probably would say I do now.
Yeah. So, I mean, like when you were younger, like you just probably didn't take that as seriously. But like, again, I said that's very ingrained in my personality.
Right. Anyway. Cooper's like huge on this. Like this is her big thing.
But, and as I said, like, that's just my personality always has been like, don't waste time, don't waste energy, like do everything with intention.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that was as much his personality as he was growing up.
Yeah.
And, but again, like Jared, he didn't go around dating people who were, you know, living like badly or in things like that, but
talking to,
whatever, like, you know, he didn't, it was important to him still that.
Right.
They had qualities that he, you know.
Yeah. Someone said to me, and I forget who it was, but they talked about like when I'm like looking to be with the girl, they imagine myself having a kid and would I want my son to date that girl? And I was like, when I started thinking about it like that, I was like, huh.
Yeah. But I think as like time has gone on, like we've talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
We're like more on the same page with it. Yeah. For sure. Absolutely. And I'll say this. I think dealing with our youth students has probably made you like click this in your like mind and start feeling this way more and more and more because it's like when it's yourself, you think like, oh, like fine. But then like when it's like it's someone else you're like, you need to understand this. Like, you know what I mean?
And so I guess for Cooper in your dating life before we were married, obviously, it was like, she was always on the track of, I don't want to spend my time with someone who I'm like not 100% sure I'm going to end up being with. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was probably more along the lines of like, I could see myself being with this person, so I'll go out with them. Mm-hmm. Right. But so I wasn't just going out with
anyone. Right. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't just anyone. Looked
at, but
yeah.
And so that's where I guess our
it's experiences changed for were me different.
Because with some of the students we deal with, it's like, are you just going to go out with someone because they looked at you? Like,
genuinely. But then I think also thinking now, like, about the future of, like, us having kids eventually, you know, makes you kind of, like, think about it very differently.
Especially, like, if I have a daughter, she's never allowed to date.
Yeah.
Or get married. Or
you know, but it's like when you think, I think about it, like, I start to think about it now more, maybe from a similar perspective as God does than I did when I was living in it. Like, I have these youth students who I want to protect so much, and I think about one day wanting to protect my kids so much, and I see how experiences affect you because I experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm like, this is probably like my view on it is probably more similar to God's now than it was when I was the one doing it. Cause I want to say, hey, like just have some patience. Like you don't need a boyfriend. Like you need, because here's what happens most of the time. People just want to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They just want to,
be seen with them,
have someone to buy presents for and go on dates with and hold hands and like, you know, they just want that experience. But that experience is so cheap, and it usually, if that's the only reason you're in a relationship is because you want to be in a relationship, it usually ends up really hurting you. Because when you just get in a relationship with somebody just cause and you don't actually take the time to think about who they are, like you're gonna get hurt. Because they're probably not going to care about you the way they should. They're not going to love you with the love of God. And so then you go through all these people and you date and date and date and date and date. And you get your heart broken over and over and over and over again.
And you give your heart to other people.
You give your heart away. And what happens is
your standards slowly get lower and lower and lower because you start to think, they didn't like me. They didn't like me. They didn't like me.
And you
I'm less.
And you start chasing. And then it's they didn't want me, so I'm going to go to this person who will want me, even though they might want me for the wrong reason.
Yeah, and so then it just becomes like a desperation rather than a true like.
I want to build a life together with this person.
And you lose so much like of yourself in just dating people, even if it's just for fun, because I've heard it so many times. Oh, we're just having fun. But it like, it always gets deeper than that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People always say it's just no casual. It's attached. Just fun. No strings attached. But that's.
It usually ends up changing for at least one of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually.
And you're the one who gets your heart broken and they're fine.
And then when it comes time to actually find someone to marry, you don't even know how to recognize like real desirable qualities because you've gotten so trained to believe that all I deserve is someone who's going to leave me.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like self-destruct. So like if you do get married, you always have this fear, they're going to leave me,
yeah.
you know, or they're going to not like me anymore or something like that, you know? And then it's
and in that, I mean, we're talking about dating, but in adult marriages, I mean, you can see a lot of times, like when someone gets out of a bad marriage, a lot of times they end up going and getting into another bad abusive mm-hmm. or something like that situation, because it's like, as humans, we're almost trained to do what we know.
Yeah. And you believe
like I'm worth this.
Because that's what that person showed me I was worth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's why I think it's so important to not just go around dating a bunch of people. And because you should see yourself as extremely valuable.
Yeah.
Like you should think like, I am not going to give myself to somebody. And when I say give myself, I'm not talking about physically. I'm just talking about like, because that's just a given. You shouldn't, even if you're dating a bunch of people, you should not be sleeping with a bunch of people. But I mean, like, I'm not going to give myself emotionally and my heart and my emotions and my feelings and my time and experience to someone unless they prove to me that, like, it's worth it. Because I'm worth it. Like, I am worth being loved with, like, real love.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer that you can maintain those standards, the more you will believe it about yourself and then be able to recognize when someone does love you the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was in, I went to private school, and in ninth grade, Nicole can probably vouch for this. Everyone, when we got into ninth grade, we had this certain Bible teacher, and she was super big on like talking about relationships. And it's like one of the first things we do in Bible class was she would pass out everyone a card and like make everyone write down like the qualities that you expect in like your spouse. And it was almost super awkward because like we're in ninth grade and everyone's already dated each other in eighth grade. And it's like, everyone's about to jump right back into like, just, oh, will you be my boyfriend? Will you be my girlfriend? Stuff like that. And it's like, she gets there and like for, I think it's like a week, she just like talks to us about like the qualities that the Bible says you should look for. And then she made everyone write it down and turn it into her, and she like looked at him and then she gave it back to us. And like a lot of people took it as a time just like write down stupid things like mm-hmm. they have to be blonde, they have to be this. But it was something that like genuinely, because I'd heard my parents talk about it, and but like that was the first time I ever spent like a long time like writing down what I think. I mean, I was a ninth grader, mm-hmm. so what I thought that I wanted, but a lot of the things I wrote then were true when we got together. I mean, there were things that I wanted.
That's, I would say, I think you need to, while you were saying that, it just made me think, like if dating to marry is what you're trying to do, I think that you need to decide, like, what do I want to marry? And you're not looking as in, like, I'm going to find all these people to think, like, you look for someone who matches what is important to you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not just, do I like this? Not really. Do I like this? Maybe. You know, it's like, I think if you could say, these are the things that are non-negotiable to me. And I'm not saying like, oh, I'm going to marry someone with brown hair. So if someone with blonde hair meets every non-negotiable quality, I'm going to ignore them. You know, like, it's not superficial things, but it's like, I always knew I was called into ministry. So I knew I will not marry someone who is not called into ministry, because that is what God called me to do. It doesn't matter if I really like someone who's not, that can't happen. I decided I will marry someone who's called into the ministry. And then Jared met that. So I didn't have to go looking for like, do I like this? Do I like this? It's like, I know what I'm looking for. And then I found
it. And a lot of times, especially, and we keep going back to dealing with teenagers, it's like they set that, like they say, this is non-negotiable. This is non-negotiable. And then it's like, they start texting this boy from school or girl from school. And then it's like, well, but she's this and she's that, even though she's not on my she doesn't have my the things I will not go for. And they end up just like convincing themselves, oh, well, she's just so nice to me though, or he's so nice and they're so sweet. And so I'm going to just throw everything I've said I want out of the window to be with that person because they were nice to me. And for Cooper, so she has sisters, younger sisters. And so she's really with the youth students. So I'll step back and say this. The girls in our youth versus the boys in our youth, the girls are very talkative to Cooper and like want to ask her opinions on this and like get her advice on things. Coming from me, who was a teenage boy, I really didn't want to hear advice from anyone. I was going to do what I wanted to do and like live with the consequences. Yeah. And so they're not really coming to me like, hey, I think I like this girl. What do you think I should do about it? But so it's funny seeing Cooper, how she talks to the girls in youth versus how she talks to her sisters. Because it's like, she says the same things, but it's like with her sisters, it's like, you're my little sister. I can say it to you a lot
more direct.
Yeah, more direct. And it's like, sometimes I see her talking to her sister and I'm like, that's how you just need to go in there and like yell at all these girls in you.
But it is like what I was saying a second ago about how I feel like my perspective is more like similar to God. And I'm not comparing myself to God, but I do like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, he looks at us like his children and he knows, like he would say to you, there are like people who are going to be nice to you and also be Christians. Right.
That's like, the thing.
And all you have to do is wait. And I think patience is the hardest part of all of it.
Just because right now in eighth grade, you haven't met the exact perfect person doesn't mean you need to start lowering your standards to find someone.
Yeah.
It's like eventually you're going to find the person that, I mean, with there being 7 billion people on earth, like, and we're not going to meet anywhere near all of them in our life. Like, you're going to be able to find the person or a person that has all the qualities you're looking for.
Yeah.
You don't have to just because all your friends are getting a boyfriend or girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Well, I need to start lowering my standards down so I can have one as well.
Because when you start lowering your standards for who you're looking for, you start lowering your standards for how you're going to act in the relationship as well. Yeah. When you start lowering your standards for someone because you just want to find someone, well, then it's like, well, I'm just so desperate to find someone. Well, now they want me to do this stuff with them, so I'll do it.
Yeah.
Or now, like, you start not only getting someone less than what you want, but you start becoming less of the person that you want to be because you're trying to lower yourself to meet them. Mm-hmm. And that's so dangerous. And it's so heartbreaking when I see that happening. And I wanted to add this. I kind of talked about it. Well, I don't think I've ever talked about it on here. Before I met Jared, I was 15 and I was to that point where I was like, Lord, I just really want to know who I'm going to marry. And I look back and it's what I tell the students now. At 15, you have plenty of time. You should not be stressed. Right. But that's how I felt, because I remember feeling like, I just want to know who I'm going to marry, because I was always that way. I was like, I don't want to be in this little teenage phase anymore. I want to be married. I want to be grown. Like, I want to live my life.
Right.
And so at 15, I was praying. I was driving. No. So I guess I was 16 because I was driving in my car. And I was like, Lord, I just want to know who I'm going to marry. And that was the clearest I've ever heard his voice in my life, still to this day. And he said, you're going to know who you're supposed to marry. They're going to come into your life once you are not looking for it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, how am I supposed to do that? Like, how am I supposed to just stop thinking about it? And he was like, when I become more important to you than finding someone, then you will be ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because what happened was my relationship with God was all about trying to find someone.
Right.
Because all I did was pray about finding someone. Yeah. All I did was talk to him about this boy or I like him, or am I going to be with him? And it was like, I had no relationship with him outside of a relationship with somebody else. And he was like, our relationship has to be first.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to want me most, and then it will happen. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Because I got to the point right before me and Jared actually started dating, where I said, God, like, I am done. Like, I am absolutely done trying to figure this out. Like, I'm absolutely done trying to make something work. Mm-hmm. Like I'm done. And then it was like, bam. And it got to the point where I wasn't even thinking about it anymore. And that's, I was like, that's exactly what he told me was going to happen, that I thought was impossible, but it did. And it was patience. It's like, that is so hard for people to do, is to be patient, because you want to know now, you want to see the future before it happens. But it's like, for most people listening to this, especially who are young, like, you've got time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you cannot get so focused on what life looks like right now that you forget what you actually want most in the future.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's really good.
Yeah.
And another thing I want to add is, like, you need to have a relationship with God first and get right with God before you try to pursue a relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, how can you keep a relationship with this guy or this girl if you can't keep a relationship with God?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly true.
Mm-hmm. So now we're on the next point. It's avoiding sexual immorality.
So, I'll read this. This means abstaining from any sexual activity outside of a biblically defined marriage. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. So we were talking about this the other day, and
for going higher class. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people want to talk about virginity and make that like the standard.
Yeah.
And I think it's more than that even. And we were saying, like, what would you call that? And I would say, like, purity, period. Like, virginity is such a narrowly, like, defined thing that it's so easy to say, well, we'll do all this and this and this, but I'm still a virgin, you know?
Right.
But it's, like, it's more than that to say that you've actually kept yourself totally pure.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like we said earlier, when you start in, like, getting physical with somebody, even not just in having sex, it's affecting you spiritually, it's affecting you
right.
in your mind, and once you start dipping your toe in the water, it's a lot easier than to right. just go all the way.
And mm-hmm. and especially when so often all that gets talked is, and I will just say what you said again, like, going to a Christian school, it was always taught, hey, be pure, be a virgin. Like, purity does not equal virginity, right? And so, like, a lot of times it gets so easy when that's like, okay, here's the line I will not cross. I will not do this.
But I'll do everything all the way up
to that line. And that's saying that's hard, because once you start, like you were going into, once you start a little bit,
mm-hmm.
it can take you way further, way faster than you ever thought.
If you're not careful, you'll always go further than you thought you would.
Yeah.
And like we talked about it the other day as well, purity is not even just physical, it's mental, because you're watching pornography. It's you're literally experiencing in your mind all the same things that you would experience in your mind if you were like physically engaging in that. Like you're literally like thinking about it the same way, and you're seeing those things happen that you're not meant to see. If you're talking to someone like sexually, like that is, it's intimacy. It's tainting intimacy. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I think, like, eventually when you get married, your sexual intimacy, is so much more about being unified and being close than it is about a physical act. And all of these things that you can do that take away your purity affect that intimacy just as much as physically doing those things.
Yeah.
Talking with your boyfriend about sexual things, like watching pornography, as I said, or, you know, getting close to the line or all those things. It's like all of those things I think you need to avoid. I'll say this, like, you'll never regret staying as far away from the line as possible. If that means you don't need to hold hands, what is there to lose from not holding hands?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, always set your boundaries way further away than you think you need to.
Right.
Because it is so easy to cross.
And
them.
So going into that, avoiding sexual immorality is setting strong boundaries. Mm-hmm. And that's thing with our class we're going to go into with the Going Higher. But that's thing we said we wanted to talk about, just because so many people set no boundaries and then they're surprised when they go mm-hmm. further than they ever thought they would.
Yeah.
And it's like, just having been in high school, like all of my friends, like they'd Snapchat me like laying in bed with their boyfriend or girlfriend. And it's just like, that was thing my parents always said. They're like, if you have a girl, I almost said boy or girl. They said to me, if you have a girl over to the house, like you're not going into your room and closing mm-hmm. the door and like laying around in the bed or something. Because even if you mean it to start off as just like, oh, we're just going to go like, oh, I hear we're going to go cuddle, right? We're going to go mm-hmm. cuddle. It always, when you're in that setting, it's easier for things to progress.
Mm-hmm. Don't allow yourself to be in the situation to like mess up with your boundaries. It's like, if you, and I'll say this, don't get mad at your parents for having rules. So many people get mad at their parents and say, my parents are so strict. Your parents want you to be pure and love you. And if they're setting those kinds of boundaries for you, good.
Right.
Because you need help.
Right. And like, so if you're, I want to say this carefully, if my goal is to, so when me and Cooper were dating, like even as we were dating, I was still living at home. She was still living at home when we first started dating before she went to college. And like, we still abided by our parents' rules they set for us when we were 14 and 15 years old.
Yeah.
And it was like, if we're trying, my thought was always like, if we're trying to go do something, like we're driving around in the car all the time, we could just pull off on the side of the road. But it's like having those boundaries still set avoided a lot of mm-hmm. things that could just like, I don't want to say unintentionally, but
because you make the choice, but it's still like, it feels that way.
Like, there's scenarios where things like that can happen a lot easier.
Yeah.
Like just driving to go get dinner, like that, I'm not just being tempted to do something wrong. But when you're laying in bed in the mm-hmm. dark at night,
yeah,
things happen a lot easier.
Yeah. So it, I mean,
strong
and
boundaries.
We were, like, we were both grown when we were dating.
Yeah.
Like, you still lived with your parents. So it was like different because like you're in their house. But it's like when you're grown, it's like you kind of do what you want to do, but still choosing to follow what our parents would have asked us to do as kids is like, why not?
Right.
Why not? Like, if you're going to get married, one day you're going to get married and you can do anything you want to do. And there's no need to do it before. Like there's no harm in just staying all the way away.
I'm glad we're not like trying to be monetized or something, because we would probably be demonetized this episode.
Really?
I don't know what the guidelines are on that.
There's no guidelines.
But yeah, I think it's very, and you know, it has to be in your heart, because you can't just do it because you're supposed to. You can't just stay away from the line because you're supposed to. And that's where I think a lot of people end up getting it wrong. It has to be your true desire to please the Lord. And if it's not, you can find every excuse of why it's okay. You can convince yourself it's not that big of a deal unless you truly have the relationship with the Lord where you know between you and him, not between you and your mom and dad who would kill you if they found out you were doing something, not between your pastor, between you and the Lord, you knowing, I want the Lord to be pleased with me. Like you feeling that personal conviction, it has to get there. And that's where it goes back to, he has to be the center of your life.
And back to when you're choosing who you want to be with, you don't want to be with someone who is going to try to pull you in like closer to that line. You want to be with someone who is going to help you stay away from those, like getting closer to that line, like we talked about.
And not even just someone who's willing to have the boundaries for you, someone who wants them for themselves.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I know we've got to hurry and wrap up. So,
and I want to add another thing. Like, you can't make boundaries for like both of you in a relationship. Like, you both have to have boundaries that you both want. Like, you can't be the one just to have boundaries.
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. That, that's exactly right.
Right.
Yeah.
Now we're on the next one. It's why you should build on biblical principles.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that the story that Jesus gives us about the wise man and the foolish man. Are you guys familiar with that? Mm-hmm. The wise man built his house. Cadence, you know that? He built his house on the rock. And then when the storm came, his house stayed okay. And then Jesus talks about the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And then the waves came and his house fell apart. And so that's gives us the picture of like when we build on biblical principles, when hard times come, you're going to be okay. But when your life is built on just worldly things, when hard times come, you don't know what to turn to. And so it's like in our marriage, when hard things come up, I mean, we've been married for a year and a half, so I don't know how many like super hard battles we've faced together, but it's like if our marriage was built on worldly principles and God wasn't the center of it and hard times come, like, okay, well, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to be around you. So I'm just going to leave and figure something else out. But when you're built on the Lord, you're able to know my hope's not in her doing something or me doing something. My hope is in the Lord.
Yeah.
And because my hope's in the Lord, no matter what we face, we're able to face it together.
Yeah. My parents always explain it like this and I love it. They always said like, when you choose, like when you believe the Bible and you live your life on biblical principles, there's no conflict that you cannot resolve.
Yeah.
Because there's no choice for either of you on what the answer is going to be.
Right.
Like people who are not living based on the Bible, when they get into a conflict with each other or when they face something hard, it's like almost impossible for them to come into agreement because it's not, their agreement is not based on anything. So it's either one person has to give up what they want or they have to just go and do their own thing. Like there's nothing to bring them together. But when you're living based on the Bible, it's like if we're in some kind of conflict, like it doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter how you feel. At the end of the day, we will choose what the Bible says.
Right.
So if I don't want to forgive you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I don't want to forgive you.
Yeah.
I will because I promised and I vowed to you that I would live and love you as the Bible tells me to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it's like at the end of the day, no conflict, no hardship. If I truly build on biblical principles, we'll be able to separate us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This is a hard topic to narrow down on.
There's a lot, but yeah, I feel like that all kind of sums it up.
Yeah, it does.
And that's when you're dating, you are setting that foundation. So you're saying, we're dating right now. I am choosing now that when conflicts come, I will respond out of love. I will respond in forgiveness.
Right. And if that person you're dating does not respond that way, that's like a big red flag of,
exactly,
I don't need to be dating them. Because like we said earlier, if they don't respond that way while you're dating, don't expect them to respond that way. Right. Like magically, oh, we're married now, there's going to be no issues. And
the issues get harder.
Yeah, right. A lot of times people think, oh, if we get married, it'll solve our problems.
It will make them worse.
It'll make them worse, yeah.
So you have to set that precedence. Like I've always said to a lot of the kids, you let them know who you are,
mm-hmm. yeah,
and don't change it. Now, that doesn't mean you don't change in ways that you need to change, but you let them know, this is how I'm going to live. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to respond based on what the Bible says. And if you don't want to do that with me, bye.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's like, because you don't change. Like you stand firm.
Right. Once you're married, there's so many stories being in church I've heard and seen of people saying, well, when we got married, I thought he'd start coming to church with me. And then for 5 or 6 years of their marriage, we have stories of people in our church who say, every week I saved a chair for my husband who wouldn't come to church. And now after 6 years of struggling with it, he's finally coming to church. And it's like,
but there's also,
you could avoid
that,
so much of that if you would just, especially that's what we tell our youth kids. Like so many of your parents would tell you, I didn't grow up trying to serve the Lord. And so I got myself in this situation and now you don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. Like you can look at all these other people in your life who have been through hard situations like that and know, if I'll just make the hard decisions now on not dating the first person I look at and might have a crush on, that I'm going to marry that person who doesn't fit the things I want, it'll save you a lot of struggles and mm-hmm. hard times in the future by just being patient now.
Yeah. I've heard it like this before. Like, it's hard to wait. It's harder to fix a broken marriage. Yeah. It's hard to set boundaries. It's harder to live with the consequences of sin. Like anything that you have to do now that's hard, if you don't do it, it will be harder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And good. So it's like, choose to do the hard thing now so it doesn't get harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then our last point is how to align your desires to God's will.
I think that kind of really goes with kind of what I said a minute ago about like what the Lord spoke to me about wanting the Lord more than I want a relationship. And in that time, that allowed me to want what God wanted for me more than what I wanted for myself. And I think that aligning your desires to God's will comes with, I think that the hardest thing is to trust Him. And that's hard for a lot of people to do. And I think that if you would just trust Him, then you would believe that what He has for you is better than what you could go find for yourself.
Yeah.
And that you... But you have to know His word to know that that's true. So like you have to read the word. You have to know what the Bible says about marriage. You have to know what it says about who you're called to be. And then once you do, you have to trust it. You have to believe that His word is true. He has never failed. He has never not done what He said He was going to do. So if He asks you to trust Him and to be patient, He will not fail you. I've said it many times. Like people have told me, well, I got with this guy because I was afraid that like he was the one that God had for me. And maybe it was just like, you know, he needed to grow some more.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you will not miss what God has for you. Mm-hmm. If you're just being obedient, if He tells you to wait, you will not, it will not pass you by. His plan will not right. fail mm-hmm. if you are actually trusting Him and being obedient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you about to say something? No.
No.
Okay. But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know we got to wrap up. So.
And then like, I have like another thing, like do things with this person, like that you'd feel comfortable doing if someone walked in the room.
Oh yeah. With boundaries. That's mm-hmm. definitely true. You know? Yeah.
Exactly. Very true.
Yep.
I think that's very good.
Mm-hmm. And people always said to me, just growing up, like the stupid things, like save room for, not stupid, but like save room for Jesus. But they're like, And it really, like, when you think about it, it's like God is always watching you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I would think about that. It's like, I don't want to kiss Cooper in front of God. it's like, he's always watching. It's like, even though you think what you're sending is on Snapchat and it's going to delete, or what you're doing, no one's watching. It's like, God is watching, not only like your parents who can ground you. Like, if it's you wouldn't do something in front of your parents, but it's like all they can do is ground you or punish you. But it's like God, who is going to send you to heaven or to hell,
mm-hmm.
is watching everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's more than just Jared and Cooper might mm-hmm. find out what I did, or my parents might find out. It's like God knows your heart and your thoughts and everything that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thank you.
One day we'll recreate this episode when Cadence gets married. Or
With Cadence's husband. That would be so good.
With like when she first gets a boyfriend, it's like they have to come interview on the podcast.
And we'll ask them a bunch of questions.
Oh my.
That's like the requirement to get married.
Yeah.
We have to interview, get your parents in here too.
We all
get to ask whatever we need.
We're going to have a bunch of mics.
I was saying, we have to get some more mic stands.
Yeah.
Mike stands.
Oh my goodness.
That's so my dad's name, guys. Well, thank you, Jared, for coming on our podcast today. This is great.
Yeah.
This might be my new favorite episode.
I think it's kind of long, but
it was kind of long.
But yeah, Cooper said we'll be done at 10, and it's 10:35.
It was just a lot of good stuff to say. But I hope that if you listen to this far, leave a comment. Of your favorite ice cream flavor.
No one has ever left a comment.
But if you've listened this far, leave a comment of your favorite ice cream flavor so we know that you watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever done this.
I've never left a comment.
Oh, we normally say like, leave a comment if you want to ask a question.
Yeah.
But you have to think, people aren't all just watching on YouTube. Can you leave a comment on Spotify?
Yeah, or Spotify.
Never mind.
Yeah, so leave a comment. But yeah, again, ask us questions. We will do a Q&A. So
eventually, when we get...
Even if we have to make up our own questions.
I'm kidding. Yeah, we will.
I'm kidding.
I'll make a bunch of fake accounts and just ask questions.
Leave us some questions that you want us to know, or topics. Even just topics, topic you want us to discuss, and we'll do it.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for watching.
Yeah, thank you guys. And... what's your guys' favorite ice cream flavor before we leave?
Vanilla.
Mine is this like bluebell flavor that they have. It's called Cookie Two Step.
Ooh.
And it's Oreos and cookie dough.
I thought it was Arkansas Mud.
I do like Arkansas Mud from
Little Rock Mud. Is that what it is? Kilwins.
It depends on where you get it from. Arkansas Mud from Kilwins. I really do like that a lot. But anyway, what's yours?
I like cotton candy.
Oh, cotton candy is really good.
Yes. Do you like the Superman flavors? Have you had that?
Yes. It's okay. I mean, it's like a bunch of flavors together.
Yeah.
So I don't really know, but
yeah.
Yeah. Leave your ice cream flavor down below.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.